about what is our perspective on Nedarim. We're going to be learning a whole Masechta about how to take a Nedar, and all these fine details of taking a Nedar. Why would one take a Nedar? Is a Nedar a good thing? Is a Nedar a bad thing? What is the perspective on Nedarim? So, we could theoretically, if we had to think a priori, without getting into the Makoros, what are our options? What's our perspective on Nedarim?
Beautiful.
What?
Beautiful.
It's good, it's beautiful, it's amazing. Another perspective?
Risky.
It's bad, it's horrible. It's okay. Or everything in the middle. Maybe it's okay sometimes, it's pariv, it's not good, it's not bad. So what's Chazal's perspective? So the first source we should start with is the Yerushalmi in Nedarim. Yerushalmi in Nedarim has a very famous line that we're going to have to address because it's explicit in the Yerushalmi. It's not something that we need to like learn out from Rishonim. The Yerushalmi on Daf Tesam and Aleph, and the Yerushalmi says, "Lo da'yecha mash osr Torah sha'ata ba'al osr d'var macherim." Is that enough for you? What the Torah asked? You need to come and make nedarim on yourself. Again, what are nedarim? Nedarim are when a person says, "I am going to asr. I have a beautiful massage chair in my living room. I'm asring on myself this massage chair for the next 30 days." I have a freezer full of amazing steaks. Those steaks are usher to me for the next 30 days. As the Gemara is going to tell us in Daf Beis and Beis, a neder is on a cheftza. Shvua is on a person. Shvua, you say, I won't eat meat for the next 20 days. It's not this meat or that meat or that meat. I won't eat meat. A neder is you usher something specific, a cheftza. Like the chiluk between cheftza and gavra is not a creation of Rav Chaim. It's on Beis and Beis in a dark. So a neder is chal and a cheftza. So the Yerushalmi says what? There's not enough meat out there that's not kosher? You have to go asr on yourself kosher meat? You have mahadran meat in your freezer. Why are you asring it on yourself? It's not enough with the Torah asr? So we have to figure out what that means. What do you mean it's not enough? No, it's enough. I want to be extra frum. What does the Gemara and the Nedarim mean when it says that? But that's the first mocker that we look at, the Gemara and the Nedarim and the Yerushalmi. And that certainly makes it sound like Nedarim are a bad thing. And then it's very strange. Why do we have whole Masechta about it? If you want to do something that the Torah doesn't really like, this is the way to do it. It's very strange to have a whole Masechta about that. We turn to the Gemara on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph in our Masechta in Nedarim, and the Gemara there has a line from Rav Nosson, a Braisa, Rav Nosson Omer, Hanoder Ki'ilu Bona Bama. The person who takes a Neder, it's as if he built a Bama. What's a Bama? A Bama is an altar outside the Beis HaMikdash. He built for himself a Bama. V'hamekayimo kilu makriv alav karban. The person who, and if you fulfill your neder, so it's like you brought a karban on it. Okay, is this good? Is this bad? Amar Shmuel, afal pi shemekayimo, you're nikra rasha. Okay, that sounds bad. So the Pashta says, this Gemara is telling us, and a Bama, we don't generally associate a Bama with something good. Well, we should know, historically, there were times when Bamas were good, and there were times when Bamas were bad. Bamas were good before the Beis HaMikdash was built. Before there was a Beis HaMikdash, you were allowed to bring a carbon wherever you wanted. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, you're not supposed to bring a carbon anymore. Is it just me, or is it very hot in here? Yeah, it's fine?
It's hot.
It's hot. Is that air conditioning on? Or is it blowing like hot air? Does anyone know if it's blowing cold air? Are you want to step up on the chair for a second and see? I think it's the top you have to get to. Well, that's a little crack. I think it's a little cold. It would be feeling it.
Yeah, it's cold.
It's cold air? Like really
this
cold?
This one's not on.
It's not on that one?
This is regular cold air.
It's like cold or it's like not hot?
It's
cold. Okay, and what about this one? So you want to turn it on?
Looks like it's on.
Is it on hot or is it on cold? No. On the machine. Press like on where the light is. No, like on underneath that. What's lit up right now on there? Is it on the cold, on the snowflake, or is it on the?
It's on the strange.
So the Gemara says it's kilu yirbana abama. What does that mean? So first of all, if you look in the Mefarish says, you know what that means? You built it to avodas kochavim. So I'm not sure exactly what the What's the imagery here? Why is a person who takes a neder, like he built a mizbeach to avodah zarah? I mean, it's clearly bad. It's very bad to take one. But why is it you were built a bama? Why don't you just say like kilu avodah avodah zarah? And even if it is kilu avodah zarah, it's like, what's the relationship between avodah zarah? Like sometimes there's a famous gemara. Anyone who gets angry, it's like you're avodah avodah zarah. So everybody tries to explain, what does that mean? Why is getting angry like doing avodah zarah? Because avodah zarah means that you think there are other forces in the world. When you get angry, so it's like you're saying like this wasn't from God. Very nice. Give an explanation. What does it mean that if you take a neder, it's like you're doing avodah zarah? So we need to get a little bit of an explanation of what the Mefarish means by that. If you take a look at the Ran says, no, it's not avodah zarah. You did a bama tashem. It's not a bama to avodah zarah. But you did it b'shas iser habamos. You did it b'zman beis hamikdash. And b'zman beis hamikdash, you're not allowed to do shchut echutz. It's an isur d'oraisa. You get kares for it, shchut echutz. You have to bring shchut echutz, right? Bring shchita outside the base of mikdash. Shchita meaning for a karban. A bama, b'shas, isur bamos, that's what it means. And what's the deeper teaching here? So says the Ran, it's very simple. Why does a person bring a karban outside the base of mikdash? It's an isur. Because he's cheshbening on his own. He's saying, you know what, my kavanos are good. I want to bring a carbon to Hashem right now. I live 3 days away from the Beis HaMikdash. I don't have to. I'm inspired right now. I'm going to bring a carbon outside in my backyard. Oh, but it's not al pi halacha? Yeah, but the spirit is right, and I'm trying to serve Hashem. I'm not trying to do avodah zarah. What? God's going to punish me for this? Come on, I'm trying to serve Hashem. And that's the comparison here. It's misguided religiosity. You're trying to take a neder, and you're trying to say, like, I really want to be extra pious. I don't want to give in to my Yetzihara. So I'm asring all this kosher meat in my freezer on myself for the next month. I don't want to give in to my animal side at all. A man says, I know the halacha is that I'm supposed to have relations with my wife. It's a mitzvah. But I'm going to say, I'm not going to touch my wife for the next year. So you're taking the dharma on yourself. You're ossering things that are mutter, you're misguided in your religiosity and in your zealotry for religiosity. And that perhaps is the pshat, and he even quotes it. He quotes the Rishami, the Ran. Lo daicha, it's not enough. So what's the comparison to a bama? The comparison is that a bama is misguided religiosity. It's trying to do something good, not like the Mefari says. It's not avodah zarah, it's avodah Hashem. But it's misguided avodah Hashem. And the same thing with Nedarim. Nedarim are bad. Why are Nedarim bad? Because it's misguided avodas Hashem. That's what the Ran writes. The Maral says things a little differently. The Maral says that when a person takes a neder, it's ki'ilu yeshlo Torah shel atzmo. And he's poresh min hatzibul. Now, I don't know exactly what the Maral means. It sounds to me like those are two different things. Ki'ilu yeshlo Torah li'atzmo makes it sound like, and maybe this is what the Mefarish meant, Hashem gave us halacha, and I'm doing my own halacha. That's avodah zarah. That's avodah zarah. If Hashem told you something's mutter, who are you to come along and to say it's usser? That means that you're creating your own system of Torah. Now I know that there's some overlap between this and what the Ran said, because it is coming from misguided avodah Hashem. But the stress in the Maral sounds like it's that ki'ilu yesh l'Torah li'atzma. You have your own version of the Bible. The line of poresh min hatzibur, so if you stress that, so then it's not so much about fira and having your own Torah, it's more of like a social thing. It's maybe haughtiness, bal gaiva. Everyone else is doing one thing. What, there's the halacha for everyone else, and then there's the halacha for you? Is it like you're holier than everybody else? Or you're being poresh min hatzibur, which we know is intrinsically it's its own problem to be poresh min hatzibur? But the Maral takes it in that direction. Then there's another Maral where he gets even more philosophic. He starts talking about how the Torah is the ultimate yashrus. The Torah is the definition of what is proper to do. So if you do less than the Torah, then you're straying from yashrus. And if you do more than the Torah, you're straying from yashrus. Right, if you have a straight line, you go to the left, or you go to the right, you're off from the straight line. And since the Torah, by definition, is the ultimate yashrus, so to stray, either by being makil or by being machmir, is a problem. So So again, I'm presenting these as different perspectives, even though there's a lot of overlap between them, but different interpretations of what this means. The Sefer Chassidim, which I think I gave you also, he quotes there from the Rambam, the idea of the Midah Beinonis, the golden mean, to be in the center path. And he says there that anyone who goes beyond that, even if you have good intentions, you're trying to be extra frum, so that's veering from the Derech HaMamutza, from the straight path, and that's going to be a problem, because we were commanded to follow the Lach HaBedrach of the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, to follow the straight and the middle path. I thought another way to say it is that maybe by doing more, it's as if like you're saying that the Torah is not perfect. It's like a negative statement about the Torah. That the Torah is very nice, but it's not perfect, because I know better. So, again, a lot of common ground here, but whether it's coming from haughtiness, whether it's coming from making a statement about the imperfection of Torah, whether it's being Poresh Minat Tzibor, whether it's misguided religiosity, we have certainly been able to build an argument that taking a neder is a negative thing. And our slam dunk mucker is that Yerushalmi in Adarim that says, Lo dayach hamash asar Torah, sha'at Allah, that you're coming to ask for other things. However, the picture, as it always is a drop more complicated. The first is because there's a Gemara, another Gemara in Adarim, that's on Daf Chesam and Aleph. The Gemara over there speaks positively, or perhaps positively. The Gemara in Daf Ches says, Kamash Malon, to Sharile, four lines onto the page. To Sharile, Inish, Lizruze Nafshe. The Gemara there is talking about taking a Shvua or a Neder, and it says, Minayin Shinishbar Lekaimis HaMitzvos. Can you take a Shvua that you're going to keep a mitzvah? I'm taking a Shvua upon myself to be Lekaimis HaMitzvah. What do you mean? That's a waste of a Shvua. It's a Shvua Shav. What are you doing? You're going to take a Shvua that you're going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah? You anyway have to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. It's in the Torah to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Isn't that a wasted Shvua? Like, for instance, if a person would take a Shvua and say, this whiteboard is white, that's an Isser. That's a Shvua Shav. Of course, if this whiteboard is white. Okay, so if it wasn't white, then it was a question. But to say on an Amud of marble, that I'm taking a Shvua, this is an Amud of marble. So that's a wasted. It's a wasted shvua. But the Gemara here says you're allowed to take a shvua that you're going to be mekayim a mitzvah. Nishpati v'akayimena v'akayimah l'shmor mishpatech mishpatei tzidkecha. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. So the Gemara asks, v'halo mushpa v'omed ma'ar Sinai hu? What do you mean? You're already mushpa v'omed ma'ar Sinai. You guys saw that? I gave you this Gemara to do? So the Gemara answers. The Gemara says, no, you learn from here. Shari lei l'inish l'zruzei nafshe. You're allowed to, what's l'zruzei nafshe? How do you translate that into English?
Alacrity,
to get yourself excited. You're allowed to take a shvua in order to encourage yourself, to push yourself to do what you really should be doing. Now, what do you notice about, is this Gemara a raya or not? That good to take a shvua, bad to take a shvua, pariv, what would you say?
A little more in between. Like leaning towards good.
A little more in between. Why? What word are you being medayik in? Okay, but what I'm being medayik in a different word.
Okay.
What word can you be medayik in? Kamash Malon, that what?
Shari.
What does shari mean?
It's allowed.
Why didn't it say Kamash Malon that it's good? Why doesn't it say Kamash Malon that it's good to take a shvua? It doesn't say that. It says shari. Okay. However, take a look at what do I want you to take a look at? What did I give you? Where did I tell you? I thought I had a Rashi for you to look at. Yes, Rashi and Chagiga and Daf Yud. Anyone saw Rashi and Chagiga?
Yeah.
What does he say? He quotes our Gemara, but what does he say? Mitzvah, shiye adam nishva l'kayim mitzvah, kidei shiyim moher v'yizdareiz l'kayimo. I don't know, in mine I have it in the column. Do you guys have it in the column, like in Likute Rashi or something? You have something like that, a Likute Rashi? Yeah, you got it over there?
Yeah.
So what does he say? Quotes over there. He's quoting our Gemara, but he changes a very important word, Binny. He switches Shari to mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to take a shvua if it's there to be mezariz yourself, to give yourself, you know, chizuk to do a mitzvah. So here, within Rashi here, we see this question of, is a shvua good or is a shvua bad? We had Argamon Chaf Beis, Kilubana Bama, and we thought it was bad, and we had like five different reasons why it's bad. It's haughty, it's going against the Tzibor, it's saying that the Torah is not perfect, it's misguided religiosity. So if we had the Gemara in Chagiga, I would have said, okay, it's not a stira. Where in Chagiga says, you know, maybe it's not ideal, but it's allowed. Shari means allowed. It's not ideal, but it's allowed. We would maybe be able to massage it a little bit. But now Rashi says, no, it's a mitzvah. No, wait a second. Is it a mitzvah? Or is it a, like a bama? And the first chiluk you're going to make is between a shvua and a neder. Whoa, what are you talking about? The Gemara in Daf Ches is talking about a shvua. The Gemara in Chaf Beis is talking about a neder. Maybe a shvua is a good thing, a neder is a bad thing. Can you give me a chiluk? Can anyone suggest a svara? Why would shvua be mitzvah to take a shvua to be mezaris yourself, and a neder would be bad? Well, I'm here, a good ben azmanim, you had a whole ben azmanim to put your mind into more learning and more learning. I'm here, a good svara that emerges, yeah, as you sober up from ben azmanim. Do I hear a good svara? Yeah, Jesse, let me hear. What do you got?
When you're making a shvo, it's to do something. When you're netter, it's not to do something.
Okay.
Because it's usher.
Okay, that's true. So now tell me, perhaps.
So when you're making something usher, you're basically saying the Torah is not good enough for you.
Okay,
when
good.
When you're making a shvo, you're just helping you go to
the so it's not making any negative statement about the Torah. If you take a shvo, you say, I'm gonna, excellent, very good.
Shvo causes you to.
So hold on. So it might. Okay. In other words, what Jesse means to be doing is Jesse saying, well, wait a second, let's look into those reasons. Maybe it depends which reason we use in the Gemara on Chaf Beis. Like, for instance, if it's to be poresh from the tzibor, so then I understand. To say I'm not going to eat meat, that's being poresh from the tzibor. Everyone else is eating the meat. You're not eating the meat. You're the kiddush. Everyone's eating, like, the chalent, and you say, like, yeah, I'm too frum, so I'm not eating chalent this month. So first of all, a statement like that is like the least frum thing you can do. It's much better to be picking out on the meat than to be like being super duper frum man and saying that, oh, I'm not. They say that like in Europe, in the yeshivas in Europe, if someone would like take a tainus dibor or any type of fast, if someone would find out about it, he would break the fast before letting someone find out. Because they say that the gaiva you get from people knowing you're doing it is more destructive than whatever you're trying to accomplish with your fast. So if you take upon yourself a hanhaga tova, and other people know about it, the psychological gaiva you're getting is much more destructive, and it's better to have not tried to get to this big milah. So that's an important musar idea. But maybe, so if it's something like that, so then to take a shvua and say, I'm gonna put on tefillin today. So that's not setting yourself aside from the tzibur. Everyone's putting on tefillin. You just know that you struggle a little bit with tefillin, so you take a shvua to get yourself encouraged. So if it's poresh from the tzibur, that reason doesn't apply. If it's, you know, misguided religiosity, no, it's not. I'm just taking a shvua to do a mitzvah. I'm not adding on to the Torah. So that could be one way that we could distinguish between shvua and neder.
Even poresh from the tzibur, it still works.
It's still a problem?
I know, it's still.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So We go through the different reasons, and we see that the reasons don't really apply if, you know, to make the chiluk. Yeah, you have another chiluk?
No, I have a question. What if there's like an actual like backing towards it? Like, let's say you only want to eat badatz. Okay. Like, are you able to say I want to make like a neder that I can only eat badatz? Because it is a better hechsher. So
that's a very good question. We're going to have to see. That's the broader question of chumras in general. You know, maybe this week Bayit Chan is going to be probably on Eretz Yisrael in honor of Yom HaTzimut and Yom HaZikaron. So maybe the one after that, remind me, we'll talk about chumras in general. How do chumras work in to Avodas Hashem? Is there a value to chumras? Okay. So remind me. Okay.
Maybe it has something to do with dinin gavra and
chatzah. Chatzah gavra, okay, yeah, let's hear.
Let's call that shvua, you're removing yourself from it. So maybe that's like you being poresh, whereas a neder, it's removing that from you, which is more like a gaiva thing, sort of.
You know, I could say the other way, right? Like, that's just an object. Okay. And this is you. You're, like, making yourself greater.
Yeah. No, but, like, in a neder, you're saying, no, this thing is wrong. The Torah didn't say it was wrong, but you're saying this thing is wrong. Whereas by a shvua, like, trying to build on what you're saying, by a shvua, you're saying, for me, it's wrong. I understand for most people.
So I was going to try to say, like, something like that. That when you're making a neder, it's like an objective statement. Like, the Torah didn't asr this meat, and I'm coming and asring the meat. As opposed to a shvua, you're not like making an objective statement. You're saying like, I have decided like for the next week I'm not going to, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. The meat is totally kosher. I'm not trying to make the statement that the meat is a problem. I know Hashem said the meat is fine, but I'm taking upon myself a little bit of a hanhaga. Now I know you can respond back and say, but Hashem didn't tell you to make that hanhaga. So I'm not sure if it's really a chiluk, but that was what I was thinking originally when I saw these two gemaras. So that's this first gemara in Chagiga. And again, if we have the text of our Gemara, Shari, it's less of an issue. But certainly Rashi, see, if Rashi, that was his Girsa, it's less significant. But if Rashi had the Girsa of Shari, and he switched it to Mitzvah, that's very significant. This is a very important methodological tool to keep in your pocket. Notice when Rishonim alter or change, I think over the year, I've used the term hijack, that the Rambam hijacked the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara said one thing. When the Rambam quotes it, he changes a few words that totally change the meaning of the Gemara. And he obviously did that on purpose. So here again, if Rashi had the Girsa of Mitzvah, Seder, so it's, there's a diuk to be made. It says Mitzvah. But if the Girsa said Shari, and Rashi changed it to Mitzvah, then that is mamish screaming Darsheni that we have to say something. Okay, that's Mukkar number one. Mukkar number two is not in Maseches Nedarim, but it's in Pirkei Avos. That's something that we've already learned together. The Gemara, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel. So the Mishnah there says, Siag Leprishus Nedarim. Right? Siag Lechachma Shtika. You want to make a Siag, you want to be a Chacham? So adopt the practice of Shtika. If you want to be a Porish, a person who separates himself from physicality, the way you do that is by taking the Nedarim. Now, the Mishnah seemingly is speaking positively about doing this. Everything in this Mishnah are, all the things in this Mishnah are good things. If Nedarim were bad, it would be a very, very strange Mishnah. Because what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah starts off and says, Mesorah is a siag for Torah to survive. Taking Meiser is a siag for Osher. Taking the Darim is a siag for Prisha. And a siag for Chachma is Shtika. So these are all things that we want. We want Chachma. We want Osher. We want Torah. These are all good things. So you're going to tell me that Nedarim is a siag for Prisha, but it's really bad? That's very strange. Plus, Prisha we generally associate to be a positive thing. In the famous Brisa of Pinchas Ben Yair, which the entire Maseches Yesharim is based upon, that Torah is maybe the Zahirus, and Zahirus to Zrizus, and Zrizus to Nikias. It goes on. One of the levels that it gets to, eventually, is Precious. Precious is a positive thing, we generally assume. So, how does this Mishnah square with our Gemara and Chav Beis? Here, we can't make the Chiluk, Jesse, of Shvuos versus Nedarim. Right? The Gemara and Ches was about Shvuos. This is about Nedarim. Nedarim are a Siag LePrishus. Isn't this a stira to Daf Chaf Beis, where it says that anyone takes a neder, even if he's mekayim it, it's like building a bama and you're a rasha. So the Rishonim address this question. The first one to address it is the Rabbeinu Yom.
Why can't that work?
Okay, what's the chiluk? You made a chiluk between Shvuos and Nedarim. These are both Nedarim. So is a Nedarim good, as it sounds like in Pirkei Avos, or a Nedarim bad, like it sounds like in Nedarim Daf Chaf Beis? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Precious is for sure good. Why is Precious good? First of all, it brings you to Ikre HaNefesh, which I think means it brings you to a life that's focused on the soul. Okay? When a person is focused on, I'll give you an example, I was just at a wedding, right? So I'll give you an example from a wedding. I mean, I'm hungry like everybody else, and it's always nice to eat a good smorgasbord at a wedding. You go to the wedding and smorgasbord, eat, you know, the carving station.
Reception.
And the reception. Sorry, the reception.
In the marriage,
okay. There's the reception, and they have the carving station, and the sushi stand, and they have all the... So very exciting, right? Everyone's smiling, everyone's getting hungry. So, you're going to your friend's wedding. So why are you there? Are you there to eat meat? Or are you there to dance with him, to be misameach with him? So I understand, if you run quickly, you get food. But to be sitting there at the reception and just picking out the whole time, and not to go into the chatzin stish at all, I hear you get there, you're hungry, so you take a little bit to eat, but you don't have to sit down and have a full course meal. And because of that, miss the chasnas tish. Go in there. You came to be mesameach the chasn v'kala. So, it's that. But why do we do it? Because we're so focused on the body and food and we're. So, the idea that precious, that we don't only focus on the body, that's a positive thing. Brings you to ikrei nefesh. That's number one. Number two, it's machik adam minachet. The more a person is involved in physicality, so the more it leads him to live a sinful life. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes. It's not my musar. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes. So precious is definitely a good thing. So lechora, that means we should be taking the darn. Should be taking upon yourself. Okay, you know what? Sometimes I go on the internet and I look at things I should be looking at. The next week I'm not going online at all. No online for the next week. I need a little bit of a break. Next week, no, I'm taking an ed there, not going online. So I guess we should point out. Anytime throughout the year that anyone says while we're learning, I'm taking an ed there that, we don't really mean it. Right? We're just saying it and learning. So we're taking an ed there that I'm not going to go online for the next week. So seems like a positive thing. So how does this square with the Gemara? So Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. He says, when a person sees that al derech refua he needs to take a neder, then it's an amazing thing, and it'll bring him to precious. What did the Gemara mean, or what did the Rishalmi mean when it said, what the Torah already ossered things, why are you ossering things? That's talking about a person who doesn't need a neder to get to precious. He's already holding at a certain level. He's already a parosh. Or he has enough control over his Yetzirah that he doesn't need to take a neder. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, nedarim are important for people who need them. Ideally, you shouldn't need a neder. Ideally, a neder is a bad thing. Why? Well, we saw a million reasons why. It implies the Torah is not perfect. It's avodah zara. What, are you creating your own Torah? You don't need to take nedarim. Really, nedarim are bad, says Rabbeinu Yonah. But there are a lot of people who need nedarim in order to successfully be an Oved Hashem. This is what the Rambam seems to be writing. There's a little bit of a discussion about this. But the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Deos, you really should take the middle path. However, sometimes a person sees that he's sick. And when your person is sick, you need to take extreme measures. But only in order to get yourself healthy again. So the Rambam says, for instance, if a person sees that he's very stingy and he's not giving any money to tzedakah, for a month he should train himself and force himself to give away tons of money to tzedakah. Now, if you give away too much money to tzedakah, the Rambam says that's inappropriate. It's not the middle path. The middle path is to be generous. There are people who are super stingy, don't give any money, and then there are people who are irresponsible with their money, just give away all their money. The Rambam says that's a sin. What do you mean it's a sin? To give away all my money for tzedakah is a sin? Yes, because the Torah wants us to be responsible with our money. The middle path. But if you see that you're straying and you're becoming super stingy, you should go out and give more money that's really warranted in order to bring yourself back to the middle path. The example I like to give is like a piece of metal that has bent. It's really supposed to be straight, and it bent. So if you want to fix it, so you sit there and you pull it back, if you pull it to here, when you let go, it's going to go back to here. It won't, you know, start it over here. So it's not going to go all the way back to there, but it's not going to be straight. What do you do if you want it to be straight? You bend it a little bit past, and then when you let go, it settles in the middle. Right? When you're pitching your, like, your 90-mile-per-hour fastball, you realize that there's like that 10-mile-an-hour wind coming from the left. So as you're pitching it in, you have to cover for that slight deviation that's going to be from the 10-mile-an-hour wind in order to make sure that the pitch goes perfectly straight. That's what the Rambam writes, and that's what Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying about Nedarim. And if you take a look at the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Nedarim, where the Rambam often waxes poetic at the end of a section, so the Rambam tells us the end of Hilchos Nedarim, it couldn't be more clear, I think, than what the Rambam writes. In the last few halachos, the Rambam writes, Mi shenader nedarim kidei lechaven deosav ulesaken myself hareze zarezu meshubach. Sounds almost like that Gemara and Daf Ches, right? Lezruze nafshe. Maybe that's what the Rambam interpreted that Gemara. If you're doing it lizruze nafshe didn't just mean to encourage yourself to do mitzvahs. It meant you have a problem. You have a problem with this mitzvah. You're sick inside. You can't bring yourself to do the mitzvah. Oh, so to fix yourself, then that's a great thing. That maybe even is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Lizruze nafshe. Ketzad. Kigon mishay zolel v'oster alav habaster shano shnatayim. Whoa, that's pretty intense. You eat a lot of meat, so you say that's it. For the next year or two, I'm not eating any meat. But that's good, says the Rambam, because it's to fix yourself. Kulon derech avoda l'shem heim. These are all drachim and avodas Hashem, the Rambam writes. Ubenedarim elu ukiyotze bohen amru chachamim nedarim siag leprishus. The Rambam quotes the Mishnah and Avos. That Mishnah that speaks positively, you know what that's about? That's about someone who needs to fix himself. But, says the Rambam, even though there is an avodas Hashem there, don't do it too often. And it's much better to try to do these things without taking nedarim. Amru chachamim, kol hanoder ki'ilu bana bama. So the Rambam quotes both of our sources, the Gemara and Chaf Beis, and the Mishnah and Avos. How does he work out the stira between them? He says, really, the Gemara and Chaf Beis is right. You really shouldn't take nedarim. If you need to, al derech refuas, then it's a tremendous thing. It's avodas Hashem. But it's only if you need to. And if you can get by without doing it, better to get by without doing it. This is the perspective of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam. Nedarim are not good, but sometimes necessary. We get a very, very different perspective when we look in the Medrash Shmuel. The Medrash Shmuel is a perish on Pirkei Avos, a very famous commentary on Pirkei Avos. He's malakate from a bunch of different sources. And he writes very differently than the Rambam. This is the way I understood the Medrash Shmuel. I think the Medrash Shmuel says, Nedarim are always amazing. Nedarim are great. Except if a person is not Mekayim, his neder. And therefore, when Chazal say that anyone who takes a neder, it's like he built a bama, that's if you're going to end up being over on it. If you're going to end up being over on it, you're not going to be Mekayim it, so then that's what we mean there. But if you're going to be Mekayim it, it's a tremendous thing. And he says, now I know what Pudgy's going to ask, yeah, but the Gemara there says that even if you're Mekayim it, you're Nikra Rasha. That's what you're going to say, right? Yeah, I don't know how to work that out. I also noticed that. But what the Medrash Shmuel says, we'll have to take a look at it again, the Medrash Shmuel. What the Medrash Shmuel says is, when do we speak negatively about doing them? It's talking about people who are starting out on Avodas Hashem. People who are starting out on Avodas Hashem, they should not be taking Nedarim. Why? Because they're probably going to end up being over on them. You're fresh off the boat. You're all excited about Avodas Hashem. So you take a neder. I'm not going online for all of Ben Azmanim. And now it's like 20 days into Ben Azmanim. And, you know, you want to check the sports scores. Now what's going to happen? So you're going to end up giving in. Oh, I didn't really mean it for that. You're going to end up giving in. Nedarim are bad for people who are starting out in Avodas Hashem. But people who already know themselves and they know what they can control, take Nedarim. Nedarim are amazing. They bring you to deeper and deeper levels of precious. So, if you think about it, this is actually the exact opposite of the Rambam. The Rambam said, Nedarim are bad, unless you need them. The Medrash Shmuel says, Nedarim are amazing, unless you can't handle them. It's the opposite perspective, the Medrash Shmuel says. And he works the sources the opposite way. When we said, in Avos, Nedarim are siag for precious, that's telling me the ideal. Right? For the Rambam, that was the diseased person, Avos. Avos was not the ikar. For the Medrash Shmuel, the ikar is Avos. The Dharma are amazing. What did it mean in the Gemara on Chaf Beis? Like you built a bama? That's where people were starting out and, you know, don't really realize whether they're going to be successful or not. The last perspective. So far we've got a perspective that they're great and we've got a perspective that they're not great, but sometimes necessary. The middle shita is the Maseilas Yesharim. I mean, the Maseilas Yesharim basically says, Yesh V'yesh. That's why we have two sources. So there's types of precious that are great, and there are types of precious that are not good. Sometimes, and that's why you need a Rebbe to help direct you, sometimes you take upon yourself a chumrah, or you take upon yourself, And that will bring you to greater spiritual levels, and that's good, and that's what Avos is talking about. But some preciouses are bad, and they lead to bad things. For instance, the Maseilas Yesharim, it's one of the examples I brought before, I wasn't just stop bringing it. The Maseilas Yesharim says, a man has the chiyuv of ona towards his wife, which means he has the chiyuv towards his wife to have an intimate relationship with her sometimes. He owes it to his wife. He has to buy her presents sometimes, he has to go out for dinner with her sometimes, and he also has to be involved in a physical intimate relationship. And if he says, oh, I'm too frum for that, the Maseilas Yesharim says, that's misguided precious. That's bad precious. There's good precious and there's bad precious. And a chacham is the one who's going to know what's a good kind of precious and what's a bad kind of precious. This is what I've quoted to you before. The Rav Shechter always said that every chumrah has a kula associated with it. And you always have to cheshbon what it is. You know, the example I gave you once is that if a person davens a super long Shemona Esrei, so now because of that, you're cutting out on Talmud Torah. You know, you daven so long Mariv, you end up missing the first 10 minutes of Night Seder. Is that the right cheshbon? I don't know, you have to speak to a Rebbe before you do such a thing. Or the better example, you stay really late davening, and because of that, Motzei Shabbos, you come home late, your wife is at home, the kids, she's trying to get them to bed, she's trying to clean the house, there's dishes to be done, and you're so from davening long Shemona Esrei on Motzei Shabbos that you're not able to help your wife. So it's a chumrah, davening really well, but it's a kula, because you're being meikah, ben adam lechaveiro, helping your wife, and chesed. So what's the right cheshbon? Okay, you have to speak to people, you have to get advice. So that's what the Maseilas Yesharim says. You know why there's one mucker that says good and one mucker that says bad? Because some are good and some are bad. You got to know, not all Nedarim were created equally. It's not that Nedarim are good or bad. It depends.